Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes his study on the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we've been looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We tried to cover a couple of the controversial issues of the proper use of the gift of tongues as well as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in one sense, I think it's unfortunate that many people look at the Holy Spirit as only a force or a power that is to be used in the church. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is God, He is sovereign, and He wants to bring about the plans of God in and through us. And as I was studying one time through Acts chapter 8, I was reminded by the Lord that the Holy Spirit is much more than a power or a force. And in Acts chapter 8 is when Simon was with Philip. He heeded the things that Philip spoke. He was also baptized. And then as apostles came down from Jerusalem and prayed that the Samaritans would receive the Holy Spirit was imparted through the prayer. And Simon's response in verse 18 and 19 is interesting. It says, "Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also.'" So what Simon was interested in relation to the Holy Spirit was power. And that's so unfortunate. I think many believers today, that's all they view the Holy Spirit as, is power. He's much more than that. He's a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. And he wants to impart more than just power to our life. And I think it's unfortunate that that's the only relationship that some believers have with the Holy Spirit. They're just coveting and desiring power, power, power. And I think that grieves the heart of the Holy Spirit, because he has much more to offer than just power. The only way I could describe this is by using an example. Just think if you had all the money that you would ever want, millions upon millions of dollars, and somebody married you, and they married you for only one reason, and it obviously was just for your money. You would begin to realize that every time they come to you and they ask for money, and that's all they ever talk with you about is money, 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 give me money, give me money, you would realize that they're only interested in one thing about you, and that's the money that you have to give to them. Well, obviously, you as a person say, well, I have much more to offer than just the money that I have. I'm much more than that. I think the Holy Spirit would want to communicate that same thing to many people that are just coveting after his gifts and only coveting after him in his power. I think he's saying, hey, I'm a person, I have much more to impart to your life than just the power. Peter said, your heart's not right in the sight of God. And I think some people's hearts are not right in relation to the person and work of the Holy Spirit, as they're just coveting and desiring power. We need to desire the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which means more than just the gifts, the gift of tongues, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to desire his presence within our life. And I think Paul gets at this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where he says this, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, here he's using a contrast. If someone is filled with wine, they're controlled or influenced by that substance. Paul says, don't do that. That's a waste. But what we need to do is be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be controlled, governed, guided by the Holy Spirit. The word filled may communicate to you the idea that you have a cup of water, you fill that cup with water, and then somehow it leaks out, you need to fill it up again. That's not what the Greek word is communicating. The word filled here communicates the idea of to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Again, see, the Holy Spirit is a person. You can't have part of the Holy Spirit. When he comes in his fullness into our life. You don't just receive part of the Holy Spirit, just the power, and we sort of leak out, and now we need more power. The Holy Spirit wants to do more than just impart power. He wants to control and govern our life, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, everything about us. And that's what Paul is saying here, is that we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit on an ongoing and constant basis. It's important to understand that Paul, in this statement where he says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, first of all, it's in the command form. That means this is what God desires from us. Also, it is in the present tense, which means it's something we should be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, literally, what Paul is saying, be continually, constantly, day by day, moment by moment basis, be governed, controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the fullness of what the Holy Spirit wants to do within our life. Not just impart the gifts or just one gift or empower us to be a witness. He wants to control every aspect of our life. And I've had to just sit back and analyze and make sure that in my own heart that I'm not just coveting the power of the Holy Spirit, but the person of the Holy Spirit. Everything that he has, so that he would govern my life and impart into me the image and likeness and character and nature of Jesus Christ. I've also kind of sat back and watched in the church, and there does seem to be this lusting after power, and I think it's in an imbalanced sort of way. And what has happened in some of the churches, there are some manifestations which they will attribute to the Holy Spirit, which we do not find within Scripture. And so there's some unusual things happening within the church, and yet people want to apply that to the Holy Spirit, whether that's people shaking uncontrollably or getting out of control emotionally. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That means we're never overwhelmed, out of control, but we're always in control of ourselves, even if the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us and using us. There's other people that are making weird noises within the church, or the whole laughter movement, applying that to a revival of a work of the Holy Spirit. And I begin to look at Scripture. I don't see those manifestations within the church, within the book of Acts, within the Scriptures, and I have to question, why is it that people that I do believe love the Lord would allow these sort of activities to take place within the church? I don't think it's at all a matter of them salvation or loving God or loving the Word of God, but why is it that they would allow manifestations that seem to be so inconsistent with everything else that's described about the Holy Spirit within the Scripture? I think it's this, is that they don't understand the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that he's a person, that he has a nature, and his nature is like Jesus Christ, because he is God. Jesus was God. Jesus came to declare what the Father was like, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus are very similar in their nature. And so what we should see, that any manifestation of the Holy Spirit would be consistent with the nature of Jesus Christ. And when we read in the Gospels, we do not see him laying hands on people and then they're getting knocked over or shaking and shivering or screaming out or making weird noises or laughing uncontrollably. We see the power of God touching people's life in a gentle way. And I believe the Holy Spirit is gentle. And God is here saying us to the Word that we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And any manifestation that we want to attribute to the Holy Spirit needs to be consistent with his nature. Not only should we be desiring the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, but we should also be desiring him as a person. When he comes in such a gentle way and manifests himself as Jesus Christ would manifest himself. And so I believe there's no inconsistency between what we see in the Gospels and what we will see about the work of the Holy Spirit. So be careful. Make sure you're not just coveting after one aspect of the Holy Spirit's. You're just coveting after his power or his gifts. Desire all of him to control your life, to guide you, to direct you. And then the safeguard in all this, if you want to make sure that if anything is happening in your life is consistent with the nature and the work of the person of the Holy Spirit, we have the Bible to use as a guideline so that we're not left to our own experience, our own thoughts. We need to be able to go back to the Scriptures and say, this is what's found in the Scripture, that's why it's taking place in my life. And if it's not, then you're out on a limb, you're out in dangerous ground, dangerous territory. I think one of the best examples of this is on the day of Pentecost. When the Spirit of God came upon these believers, they began to speak with tongues. The unbelievers around them were saying, oh, these people are filled with wine, they're drunk. And Peter, what he did on that day is he told them, no, men, it's not that these men are drunk, it's too early in the morning. And he goes in Acts chapter 2, verse 15, he says this, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he quotes Joel. Peter's able to go back to the Scripture and says this manifestation that we're experiencing is consistent with what is prophesied within the Word of God. And I challenge you. Anything that you experience in your life, you need to be able to go back to the Scripture. Then you'll know it's truly of the Holy Spirit or not. Oftentimes, our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts can deceive us. But God has given us his Word to make sure that we are balancing out anything that'll happen within our life. We want to know if it's of God, we could go back to the Scripture. We need to be able to be like Peter and say, this is that which so-and-so in the Bible predicted or discussed. And if it's not in the Scriptures, then you are on ground that's made out of sand, that Jesus said, if you build your life on my teaching, it's like building upon a rock, but if you build upon other things, like building upon sand. And when the storms come, and they will, it'll wipe out people's lives. And that's what happens when people build their life on emotional experiences that they attribute to the Holy Spirit, that have nothing to do with the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. When the difficulties come, the laughter stops, the emotion isn't there, and they have nothing to be able to deal with the trials and the difficulties that come their way. Emotions are given by God, but they're not something that we're to rely upon. where you could go back to the Word of God, that's what is true. In Jesus, in speaking about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 6, verse 14, he says, He will glorify me. So the focus isn't on the Holy Spirit being glorified. It's the fact that the Spirit of God will glorify Jesus Christ. And that's another way that you could look to see, is this a true manifestation of the Spirit? The Spirit of God, I believe, is a spirit of humility. And he's not coming to manifest himself in the sense of glorifying himself, but he wants to raise up Jesus Christ, to glorify him. And so many churches, their focus is on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's good to focus on the Holy Spirit, but if Jesus Christ is not receiving the glory, then it's not consistent with this passage of Scripture. It goes on to say in verse 14, For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to give us insight about Jesus Christ and to glorify him and to declare him. I think to declare what his nature is about, his purpose, his plans. And we need to make sure that our focus in relation to the Holy Spirit is just not on his gifts and on his power, but on his person, to come and glorify Jesus Christ. I believe that's what Paul is making reference to in Ephesians chapter 5, of being governed or controlled, being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to direct our lives and to further the purposes and the plans that God has set in the person of Jesus Christ. So are you being guided, controlled, filled with the Holy Spirit on an ongoing, moment-by-moment basis? If not, you need to take a look at your life. You need to resubmit your heart to the sovereign God, to the sovereign Lord. You need to resubmit your heart to the governing and guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we could truly be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's God's desire. May it be your heart's desire as well.